Good afternoon. I am Matthew Caruana Galizia. Over the past few weeks, the Department of International Relations and the Faculty of Arts at the University of Malta has run a weekly discussion of current affairs. We continued where the students who participated in the first series left off, producing debates that tackled important issues in current affairs. In today's episode, the final one of this year's series, we will be discussing Palestinian politics, or in particular, the question, what are the consequences for Palestine of a coalition between Hamas and Fatah? Today's participating students are Alessandro Manno, Adrian Ricopert, and Benjamin Filippelli. Before starting today's debate, Dr. Isabel Callea will give us an introduction to the topic.
Thank you, Matthew. In January 2006, the radical Islamic movement Hamas won a large majority in the new Palestinian parliament. The presidency, however, continued to be held by a Fatah candidate, Abbas, who replaced Yasser Arafat, the founder of Fatah, and still has 2 years to run. Abbas had the broad power to create national policy and control the security services. He also shapes peace policy with Israel as head of the PLO, which does not include Hamas. However, he needs parliamentary approval for his budget and for his legislative proposals. The arrival of Hamas, formerly known as the Islamic Resistance Movement, in the Palestinian Authority as a nearly equal partner, severely complicated Abbas' efforts to begin negotiations with Israel under the US-backed peace plan known as the Roadmap. The plan, which has been frozen during the recent years of violence, calls for the creation of an independent Palestinian state by the end of 2005. Hamas, which emerged in 1987 during the first Palestinian uprising as an offshoot of Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood, however, favours the creation of a Palestinian nation on land that now includes Israel, rather than the roadmap's two-state solution. The election results stunned the USA and Israeli officials, who have repeatedly stated that they would not work with a Palestinian Authority that included Hamas, which both countries and the European Union has designated as a terrorist organization. Hamas leaders in turn reiterated that they had no plans to pursue peace talks or disarm the party's armed wing, a condition Israel had set for beginning negotiations under the roadmap. Fatah originally declined an invitation to join the Hamas cabinet, and by January 2007, the Palestinians found themselves poised at the very edge of a civil war, and Mahmoud Abbas was calling for early presidential and legislative elections. Hamas had spent the last year in government clinging to a policy that closed off almost any chance of peace with Israel. It would never, it stated, recognize Israel, would not honor any of the existing agreements between Israel and the Palestinians, and would continue the jihad until Jerusalem is liberated. Many people who sympathize with the Palestinian cause blame Israel or the West for the present miserable stalemate and the punishing diplomatic and economic embargo on the Palestinian government, imposed in an effort to force Hamas to soften its stance. Others argue that the Palestinians have also to accept responsibility for their own actions and for squandering the opportunity provided when Israel pulled its soldiers and settlers out of Gaza. Hopes of foreign investment and state building disappeared with the pointless rocket fire at Israel. A Palestinian unity government was finally sworn in on March 17th after 10 months of haggling. However, the year-old international boycott of the PA imposed after Hamas's election victory has not been lifted. The Israeli government still refuses to talk to any of the ministers, though a poll has found that most Israelis think it should at least talk to the non-Hamas moderates. America is talking to the moderates, but still refuses to restore aid to the PA unless the government meets the three familiar conditions: recognize Israel's right to exist, renounce violence, and commit to previous Israeli PA agreements. The European Union is doing the same. Only Norway, not a member of the EU, has restored full relations. Today's program will look at the role of Hamas in Palestine and the international community's response.
Thank you, Dr. Callea. After that introduction, we can continue with the debate. Benjamin, can we speak in terms of a civil war in Palestine?
Well, to discuss this question at all, we need to define exactly what is a civil war. Traditionally, it has been defined as a war in which parties within the same culture, society, or nationality fight against each other for the control of a political power. We are in a period where the tension in Palestine between the political parties appear extremely violent. However, these tensions are not new. They are simply more visible now. The thing is, since the victory of Hamas in January 2006 legislative election, we, as Westerners, have been assisting Fatah, who tried to gain power through various forms of coup. For example, through the civil, the military and the political areas, by the nomination of public servants who support the Fatah. Like this, the legitimate power of Hamas can't be correctly applied. This kind of coup benefit Israel and the international community, above all the US. For example, the fact that the international financial help was removed after the Hamas victory is a real way to destabilize the Hamas government. Now, tensions between the presidency supported by Fatah and globally by the international community and the cabinet composed of Hamas representative and supported by the Iran, the Palestinian people, and in a certain way by Arabian League, overflows in the streets. We can see a real clash between two political parties and their Palestinian electors in the same nation, having two different society conception, who are trying to access to a political power. So for me, we can speak about civil war in Palestine.
Adrian, do you agree that the country is being destabilized?
No. To begin, I think it's necessary to give a definition of what is a civil war. We can speak in terms of civil war in a case where there is an internal war inside the country and where there is direct confrontation between two parts of the same population. In the Palestinian case, there are symptoms of internal war inside the country with direct confrontation between two camps. And in 2006, this situation accounted for more than 330 deaths. However, unlike a civil war, it doesn't involve an entire Palestinian population. Currently, Palestine is home to many individual and located confrontations, but this is not a general conflict involving all the population. This violence is only expressed by armed political groups like the Ezzedine Al-Qassam Brigades for Hamas and Al-Aqsa Martyrs for Fatah. So, in my opinion, we can't speak in terms of a civil war in Palestine. And even if a civil war was the case, it would be better to use the expression of a security chaos or a permanent coup d'etat to describe the current Palestinian situation.
Alessandro, do you think that the situation in Palestine would be helped if the Hamas government were to recognize the Israeli state?
In my opinion, the issue of the recognition of Israel has become important mainly because it could be a perfect weapon behind which to hide hostility towards Hamas. In Palestine, we are facing a situation of daily violence which involves the civilian population, both Palestinian and Israeli. In the light of terrorist attacks, targeted executions, destructions of villages and every kind of violence, I think it is stupid to bind the beginning of relations and the dialogue to a previous acknowledgement, leaving one anyway in doubt as to what is indeed recognizing. The Palestine Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh, exponent of Hamas, has many times reasserted his intention to recognize the State of Israel in accordance with the borders of 1967 and not those of the Oslo agreements of 1993. And only if the existence of a Palestinian state is guaranteed along with the return of the refugees in the occupied territories. Israel, on the other hand, refuses to make concessions or to engage itself with Hamas without its previous conciliatory gestures, like recognizing the State of Israel. At this point, the question becomes, who should begin? For this reason, I think it is very counterproductive to stop before the beginning of negotiations, lingering of a matter of principle, even though of extreme seriousness. In this stalemate, the authoritative presence of an external force would become necessary. The so-called diplomatic quartet would represent an optimal solution, above all because the presence of the United Nations, the Russian Federation, the United States and the European Union makes this particular subject very balanced and impartial. But unfortunately, at the moment, they are demonstrating that they are not up to this task. The previous refusal of dialogue is a negative basis to demonstrate that equidistance, which is crucial for this role. The answer is therefore that the acknowledgement is undoubtedly indispensable, but probably should not be a prerequisite for the beginning of the dialogue.
Adrian, what do you think? Do you agree that acknowledgement of Israel by Hamas is indispensable?
In Palestine, presently, the situation is of a coalition government with a president, Mahmoud Abbas, affiliated to Fatah, and a prime minister, Ismail Haniyeh, linked with Hamas. This cohabitation has an influence on two levels. Firstly, on the national level, these two political parties don't have the same approach to the Israeli state and its legitimacy on Palestine land. Indeed, contrary to Fatah, Hamas doesn't accept the Oslo agreement and refuses to recognize the right of Israel to exist on Palestinian land. So I believe that a recognition of the Israeli state by the Hamas could be the beginning to a united government and the first step to a united nation. Secondly, on the international level, recognition of the Israeli state by Hamas is necessary, and it is one of the conditions imposed by the international community to restart the negotiation and to return to the peace process. And at the same time, the United States has a claim that they will never deal with the Hamas until that the party renounces its suicidal attempts and only if Hamas accepts to recognize the right of existence of the Israeli state. From Israel, the condition is the same. If Hamas recognizes the Israel state and stops to use the terror, Israel will be obliged to deal with the party, said Israeli government leaders. The recognition of the Israeli state by the Hamas is contrary to the party's charters, which is very hostile to Israel. But acceptance of this clause is essential and a starting point for peace in Palestine and as a symbol for wanted peace in the Middle East.
Thank you. We will now have a short break. The discussion will then continue with a short intervention by Mr. Walid Chukahiri. Welcome back to the second part of It's Debatable. Today's edition is the final of this year's weekly discussions of current affairs. Today's program deals with Palestinian politics. We are on the phone with Mr. Walid Chukahiri, a Palestinian doctoral student in the Department of International Relations. Do you think that Hamas as a democratically elected government should be recognized by the international community?
I think the answer comes from the question. I mean, if we admit that Hamas took the power by democratic ways, and this is the reality, this is what happened exactly. I mean, Hamas took the majority of the Palestinian votes in the last election. Actually, in the only election Palestinian had happened before. So why not? I think, yes, it should be recognized as a democratic choice for the Palestinians.
Have you got any more comments on the issue, though? I mean, we're discussing Palestinian politics in general, especially the rivalry between Hamas and Fatah.
I mean, the rival happened, why? Because after Hamas got be elected, the whole world, include majority of Arab countries, which I don't understand it, stopped dealing with Hamas. I think they are punishing the Palestinian by choosing Hamas. For me, it's not logic. You want EU and even United Nations support and encourage countries to take the democratic ways. And when Hamas elected in democratic ways, they could be punished by neglected and surrounded and putting under sanction. And who's suffering? Palestinian only. So what you want? I mean, EU, what they want? But I think the mistake, it has double edge, like we said. From the other side, Hamas did the biggest mistake, which they should never do it again. I mean, in the program of Hamas, it's putting clearly that Israel should be erased from the world. I mean, this is the program of Hamas, the leaders of Hamas speak about it, the member of Hamas talk about it, and this is, I think, this is the biggest mistake of Hamas. I mean, when you try to destroy a side, the other side will never recognize you. So I think Hamas should take another look for their program and change some principles. And from the other side, EU should give Hamas a chance. Because when you said, I don't recognize Hamas, they will be a bit going to the other edge, which not, why we should talk to EU when EU don't recognize us? You understand my point?
Yes,
I mean,
sir.
This is a point. So both sides, suppose losing something from their, like we said, dignity. It's not losing dignity, because you should change some principle only. And I think they will meet in the middle of the road. And after all, I'm repeating again, who's suffering? Only Palestinians.
Okay. Thank you, Walid.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for your contribution.
Thanks, bye.
Benjamin, the election of Hamas, the government, took a lot of people by surprise. Do you think there's a link between the party's popularity and the failure of the international community to find a solution to the Palestinian question?
Well, the thing is, progressively, during the last year, the international community, like the media, have changed their way of dealing with this conflict. During the Oslo process, it was clear that the solution was firstly the withdrawal of the Israeli army occupying the Palestinian territory since 1967, then the establishment of a current border between the Palestinian and Israel, and also a more acceptable solution for all the Palestinian refugees. After the second Intifada, at the end of September 2000, in spite of all these violences, like suicide attacks against the Israeli civil, we must keep in mind that according to international law, Cisjordania, East Jerusalem and Gaza remains occupying territory. Israel is an occupying force. The key of the peace stills the creation of a Palestinian state. However, reading the declaration of the international community or following the media information, we can state a kind of shift of perspective. Now it's the turn of the Palestinian to do something. It means the occupying people. As at the Sharon vision, all the peace progress depends about the Palestinian Authority. It has to reform itself and to destroy all the army groups in order to show its desire to coexist in peace with Israel. But the fact is that numerous war crimes have been committed by Israel. For example, the colonization, which is recognized as a crime by the International Criminal Court, or the removing of population. However, the international community remains quiet. How Palestinian not be attracted by a party like Hamas, which is clearly against Israel and which permit to express all his madness toward the occupying state? How?
Thank you. Alessandro, what do you think? Is there a link between the popularity of Hamas and the failure to find a solution?
In my opinion, the popularity of Hamas depends more on the success the organization has had in these years in satisfying the basic needs of the Palestinian population. Hamas, in fact, has played side by side with armed conflict and terrorism a system of support to the population in areas of welfare and health system. Its presence and spread on the Palestinian territory has therefore been a result of the increasing activities it has carried out here. In some particularly problematic zones, like the Gaza Strip, there is a strong conviction that without the capillary presence of Hamas, the population will live in conditions still more dramatic than those at present. These activities have provided support for the people for the last 20 years and have been more effective than any propaganda, and perhaps for the Palestinian much more visible and important than the terrorist attacks. It is therefore believable that Hamas has maximum popularity, considering also the fact that from the perspective of the Palestinian, Hamas sometimes managed to attend where nobody else is present, Fatah as well. The connection with the international community's failure could exist only if we consider that Hamas has filled up an empty role which nobody has been able or has an intention of taking up. Leaving people in awful life conditions, in a situation of permanent war, in situations of abuse and violation of the human rights for many years is for sure an international community failure, and it creates the perfect background for the success of an organization like Hamas.
Thank you, Alessandro. Alessandro, Mr. Shukahiri seemed to think that it was wrong for the international community to somehow punish the Palestinian people for electing Hamas, the government. Do you think that the international community should stop financial help to a government that has been legally elected by the Palestinian population?
First of all, it is important to bring into focus the reasons and the aims for giving aid to the Palestinian Authority. In the last year since Hamas' triumph in the national election, considered transparent and fair by European observers, it seems that aid from the international community is useful to finance Abu Mazen, or more in general terms, the al-Fatah leaderships, only for political reasons. Just Fatah, through its historical leader Arafat, has been the protagonist of a political process began in the 60s through fights and terrorism in order to become what today all recognize as a valid interlocutor in the international level. From this point of view, to boycott Hamas, which still has not refuted terrorism, only endangers the continuation of this process. It could represent a diplomatic instrument in order to deprive of authority a political party with majority support that may decide to act completely outside of the system, endangering that very system much more. The lack of an acknowledgement of Israel on the part of Hamas has become an excuse and an easy one in order to put into effect this boycott, ignoring those who criticize interference in internal political issue or to act against the wishes of the Palestinian majority. It is sufficient to reflect on how many violations of the human rights, non-respect of agreements or international laws, and even UN resolutions are committed by Israel, to understand that in reality these countries, so inflexible towards Hamas attitudes, are actually also able to turn two blind eyes to illegal situations. And if the US does not surprise us, the EU attitude certainly disconcerts us.
Thank you, Alessandro. Adrian, what do you think?
The economic situation in Palestine is catastrophic. The United Nations here speak in terms of humanitarian crisis caused by the financial situation and the blocking of international funds as a consequence of Hamas being elected to government. To help center led by Palestinian Association, the UNRWA, which help Palestinian refugees from Gaza, are overbooked. The government is unable to pay wage to of its employees, and public hospitals have to face material shortage. So as we can see, the blocking of these funds decided by the majority of the international community directly injures the Palestinian population. Here, I must agree with Alessandro, who argues that Hamas is an elected party legally representing the population's view. Having a far-right party in government exists in other countries, and they have not had the same repercussion on the international community. However, through this measure taken by the international community against the Palestinian government contradicts democratic principles. We must not forget that Hamas appears in the terrorist organization list of the European Union, of Canada, of the United States and Israel. Furthermore, Hamas is supported ideologically and financially by Iran. And in the context of a terrorism struggle, followed by a lot of Middle Eastern countries further to the 9/11 events, and with the current relationships with Iran and the war in Lebanon, dealing with a terrorist organization as the Hamas is prohibited.
Thank you, Adrian. Benjamin, just a quick comment. Do you think that the dissolution of the current government will bring a new peace process to Palestine?
Well, in my opinion, absolutely no. Why? Simply because the Palestinian people have chosen this government in a democratic election. The Fatah has to respect the decision of the people and the law as well. Indeed, the only way for the Fatah to gain again the power is to wait the next election. Every attempt made by the Fatah to destabilize Hamas policies could be interpreted as a violation of the right for the people to govern themselves. This right is contained in the Article 2 of the UN Charter. Likewise, if the presidency of Mr. Abbas used the constitutional right to create an emergency government, the Palestinian people will certainly feel betrayed by their presidency. This will favor Hamas, which has been democratically elected.
Thank you, Benjamin. I'd also like to thank Alessandro and Adrian for their comments, and Dr. Isabella Kalea and Mr. Walid Shukahiri for their contributions. I hope you enjoyed today's debate, the final in this year's series. We have received good feedback throughout, and we are certain that this won't be the last series of It's Debatable. Please join next year's undergraduate students for more weekly debates in the third series.